It is translated to deceive or to be deceived, to err, to go astray. Whenever we read of going astray, this is the same word. To be seduced, to wander, to be out of the way. Actually, the Greek word is where we get the word planet from. What is a planet called in the scriptures? A wandering star. Something that moves. You can't count on them. It's moving around. The mariners couldn't base where they're headed on a wandering star. It would take them anywhere. To err. And this is something that every one of us could do. It means to go astray, to lead away from the truth, or to be led away from the truth, to be led away into error and sin. Now, there's a reason that you and I can so easily err. Do you know what that reason is? It's because of the sinful nature. That's easy to answer. We all have a sinful nature, a nature that is completely evil. Now, he's talking to believers. They also have a holy nature. They have a new nature given to them in the new birth. But that old nature has not changed a bit. It still has the same appetites. It still has the same corruption. It still has the same love of self. And that is why it would be so easy for me or you to go astray and err from the truth. Actually, think about what Isaiah said. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I mean, there's something peculiar about what every one of us have done. We've turned everyone to his own way. Look at the way David ends Psalm 119. I think this is such an interesting ending to this great psalm. Now, this is David, the man after God's own heart, speaking, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he ends this 119th psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, with these words. This is David, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, when he says this, he knows I can't find my way back. I am totally helpless. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. It's all my fault. I've messed up. And here's the only plea I can make. Seek thy servant. Come looking for me. I can't even get back to you. I can't look to you. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy word. Now, I've been there. I am there. And so are you. This is always a relevant prayer. Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, a stupid lost sheep. Seek me out. Find me. Bring me back into the fold. I can't get back. Seek thy servant. I don't forget your word. Look back to the book of James and look in this first chapter. He uses this word again. James chapter 1. Verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God's tempting me. He's trying to tempt me to sin. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. That's the word. Do not go astray. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now look again in verse 16. Don't go astray, my beloved brethren. He's speaking of two things here. Number one, don't blame your sin on God. my sin is all my fault. Well, God in His sovereignty let me sin. He could have kept me from it. You know, even Pharaoh didn't say something like that. When the scripture said God hardened his heart, you know what he said? I've sinned, and I and my people are evil. Yes, God's in control of everything. There's no doubt about it, but my sin is all my fault. I can't blame my sin on the will of God. Well, God willed it. He allowed it to happen. Can't do it. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And I can't give myself the credit for my salvation in any way. Of His own will, not my will, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now don't err on either side. This is a way that we would have a tendency to err, trying to blame God for our sin, looking for some way to justify ourselves so we're not responsible for our own sin, or trying to give ourselves some of the credit in salvation with our will. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And notice what he's speaking of in our text. Turn back to James chapter 5. Brethren, if any of you do err, go astray from the truth. The truth of the gospel. Now that's what he's talking about. He's not saying if you see your brother do something contradictory, you need to go confront about their sin and try to get them straightened out. Don't do that. Not unless you don't have any beams in your own eye. Don't do that. You don't have any business doing that. The Lord will take care of him. That doesn't mean you come to somebody and confront them about the sin in their life. This is talking about the gospel. If any of you err from the truth of the gospel. Now, I think this is so important. If I err from the truth of the gospel, sin is the reason behind it. My own personal sin. It's not because of some intellectual inability to understand. It's my own personal sin that would cause me to err from the truth of the gospel. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 10. For the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. For the love of money, covetousness, the desire for what money can provide you. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have what? Erred from the faith. This covetous desire is what caused them to err from the faith. It gave them a reason to err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, wandering from the truth is because of my sin. And understand this. When I wander from the truth, when I err from the truth, when I go astray, I'm going astray from Christ Himself. Christ is the truth. I love saying that. John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And listen to me, Christ is the truth regarding who God is. Somebody says, I want to know who God is. Look to Jesus Christ and you'll find out. He is God. He's the truth concerning who I am. Do I want to see how deformed and sinful I am? Look to Christ. Anything that's not just like Him is evil. Jesus Christ is the truth regarding salvation. I'm saved for His sake, and only for His sake. He bore my sins, put them away. He gives me His righteousness, and I'm saved by Him. He's the truth. He's the truth regarding everything. He's the truth concerning this word. If any of you do err from the truth. Now, if I err from the truth, I'm erring away from Christ himself. I'm going astray from Christ himself. Listen to this scripture. John 1:14 says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Now, that's who Jesus Christ is. He's full of grace. That's good news. And he's full of truth. And you can't talk about truth without talking about grace. And you can't talk about grace without talking about the truth. His unmerited favor. John 1:17 says, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, the law is true. You going to object to anything the law says? No, the law is true. But it's not the truth. Grace is the truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There's no worship without the truth. If I go astray from Christ, I've gone astray from worship. Our Lord said in John chapter 4, verse 24, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." There's no sanctification without the truth. Being set apart by God. If I'm straying from the truth, listen to this scripture. "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." The sanctification of the Spirit is the belief of the truth. If you believe the truth, you're being sanctified by the Spirit. But what if I wander away from the truth? James 1:18, I've already read this. "Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth." Now, the word of truth, the gospel, and God's will is what begets life. He takes his word, the word of truth, and by his will, he gives life. The only way you or I will have life is through the word of truth. In Titus, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, being saved is called coming to a knowledge of the truth. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Faith is called in Titus 1:3, the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth. The truth, which is after godliness. Repentance, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, do you see how important the truth is? Christ is the truth. It's not just a series of propositions. It's Christ himself. It's worship. It's God doing something for me. Oh, be to err from the truth. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, 14, when Paul's giving us the armor we're supposed to put on, what's the first piece of armor he gives us? "Have your loins girt about with truth." The truth of the gospel. So this is what he's talking about. He's talking about erring from the truth of the gospel. Now, like I've already said, if you see your brother with something contradictory and inconsistent in his life, you do not need to confront him about it unless you have nothing that's contradictory and inconsistent in your own life. Now, until you can get to that place, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Anybody got to that place yet? You all know you'll never get to that place. So this is not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you see something in your brother that is inconsistent. Well, I can show you a lot of things that are inconsistent in you too. And you can show me a lot of things that are inconsistent in me. If that's what we're about, if that's what we want to do, it's easy. It's easy. Now, it's unloving. It's pharisaical. It's harsh. But that's not what this is about when he's saying, if any of you do err from the truth. If any of you do err, he's talking about erring from the truth of the gospel, Jesus Christ being all in salvation. Now, if any of you do err, turn to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we, That word deceive is the same Greek word err. We've gone astray. If we make a claim like that, I have no sin. What have I done? I've gone astray like a lost sheep. You know, when you make a statement, or if I make a statement like that with regard to myself, how hard-hearted, how untrue. I mean, if you've got the Spirit of God, if you've got a new nature, all you see is sin. That's what you see. And so when I'm speaking that way, obviously I'm not speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What am I doing? He says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we err, go astray, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. Now, it's our fault we've been deceived. There's some wicked motive in coming up with a statement like that. It's our fault if we've been seduced. We opened ourselves up to that. But what a bad place to be. The truth is not even in us. Now, back to our text. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, the gospel, and one convert him. One turns him. Now you know as well as I do that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can turn somebody. I can't turn you, and you can't turn me. And I can't turn myself. I know that. That's why we pray, turn us again, O Lord. Cause thy face to shine, and we'll be saved. That's the prayer of our heart. Turn me, and I'll be turned. I can't turn myself, I can't turn you, and you can't turn me. But the Lord may use you to turn me. He may use me to turn you. Back to the truth of the gospel. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, turn him back to the truth. Now, aren't you glad the Lord goes after his straying sheep? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. This is the Lord's work. Verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went on astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And if it's not his will that one of these little ones should perish, none of them will they? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Evil people. People who had nothing to bring to the table but their sin. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. Aren't you thankful he does? And he spake this parable unto them that made this statement. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he's always going to. He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, when I go astray, he may use you to find me, and I'll be thankful. But he's the one who found me. He's the shepherd. The one who turns him is the man he's used to do this. if one of you convert him. Now, if I'm to be used in that capacity, and you're to be used in that capacity, how should this be done? Brother, there's sin in your life. I see it. And I'm fulfilling my responsibility as your brother in Christ and exercising my gift to be able to clearly see motes in your eyes. I've got a gift for that. And I'm calling on you to repent of that sin or suffer the consequences of church discipline. Think that's going to bring anybody back? No. That's evil. That's foolishness. That's self-righteousness. That's not what this is about. As a matter of fact, let me assure you, no one will convert anyone if you have an attitude like that. And the person who has that attitude is the one who needs to be converted. It's the person who needs to be saved. That kind of attitude. Not, I'm looking out for my brother, trying to bring him back. No, you're not. Well, how am I to be? Well, first and foremost, I'm to love my brother that's gone astray. Love is so powerful. I'm to love my brother that's gone astray. Remember this. This is going astray from the truth, from Christ Himself. And if you love Christ, you love your brother, you want him to return because you love him. Secondly, this cannot be contrary to, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now let me pause for just a moment. That doesn't mean that if you judge your brother, God's going to judge you with the same harshness. Because if it does, nobody in this room will be saved. Every one of us have been guilty of a judgmental attitude and judging. It's ugly, it's horrible, it's wrong, but what we've all been guilty of. But what it means is, if you judge somebody, they're going to judge you even more harshly. If you don't judge somebody, they're going to like you. They're going to say, boy, they're a nice guy. They feel that you're judging them. They're going to see every fault, every flaw, and they're going to deal with you accordingly. So that's what the Lord means there. But let's go and read it. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote, the speck that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clear to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. But as long as you have beams in your eyes, don't go after your brother's motes. So this returning, converting your brother back to the truth, it has nothing to do with a judgmental attitude that's expressed in Matthew chapter 7. And if I have that, I don't have any business even trying anything. It can't be contrary to that. And thirdly, remember Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now let me ask you. Can you understand how easily you could be overtaken in a fault? And that word fault is a sin. Just overcome with some sin. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, you have the Holy Spirit. You've got a new nature. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know, you ought to know this about yourself. If you're tempted, you'll fall. You know what? If you're tempted, you'll fall. If you're put in the same position that brother is, you'll do the same thing. Probably worse. That's what he means when he says, consider yourself, lest you be tempted. There's a reason why the Lord told us to pray, lead us not into temptation, because we know what will happen when we're tempted. Therefore, we don't even want to be tempted. Lead us not into temptation. So this is to be done in the Spirit. He said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this has something to do with fulfilling the law of Christ. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, knowing that you'll be worse. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. You know what that word means? Moderation. Somebody says, well, it means being moderate in eating and drinking. It doesn't mean any such thing. That's not what the word means. Now, it's good to be moderate in eating and drinking, but this word means literally leniency. Let your leniency be known to all men. Not holding their feet to the fire. Not keeping them under the letter of the law. It's a humane attitude, looking at the element of human weakness in that person. Just like you. You know, even the Lord did that. Remember when the Lord came to his disciples and he said, truly the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. This is the attitude he's talking about. Now, if I see you straying from the truth, if you see me straying from the truth, I pray that God will give us this kind of attitude in seeking to restore the wandering sheep. Now, look what he says back in our text in James chapter 5. Verse 20, let him know. Let the one who has turned this other person and let the one who has been turned, let him know that he which converteth turns the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, he that turns the sinner from the error of his way. Now, you know why he strayed in the first place? Because he's a sinner. You and I use this term, sinner. It's something that I know something about. I'm a saint, and I'm a sinner. Both? Yep. The new man is a saint, Saint Todd. The old man is nothing but a sinner. And I understand the sinner going in the wrong direction and being turned from the error of his ways. And I think about the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, what's the next word? Am. Not used to be. Not formerly was. But now I'm different. Of whom I am the chief. And that's how Paul felt about himself. And that better be the way I feel about myself. And that ought to be the way you feel about yourself. Amen? That's the truth. Now let that one know who's converted the sinner. I own the title. From the error of his way, the going astray like a lost sheep. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. I don't forget thy word. Let him know that the one who's converted the sinner from the error of his way has saved a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, does that imply that a true sheep can end up dying in his sins and not having his sins covered? Well, you know from the other scriptures, it doesn't mean that. The Lord said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Not temporary. Eternal. Never had a beginning. Never have an ending. Eternal life. And they shall never perish. That's okay with me, isn't it? They shall never perish. So you know from the light of Scripture that it's not saying a true sheep can suffer the soul death and all of its sins be exposed. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. Here's what this means. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now I can remember when I used to avoid Hebrews chapter 10 because of that verse. I wouldn't even want to read it. I couldn't deal with the implications of it. Does that mean that if I choose to sin, it's not that I get caught up yet, but I willfully know what I'm doing ahead of time and I sin, there's no sacrifice for that sin? Is that what that means? Well, if that is what it means, many won't be saved. Is that right? Every time we sin with the will. Notice what it says, if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth. Now what this is talking about is somebody hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and going back to works. If we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, Christ is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You hear the gospel, and you go back to works. If you don't return, you have committed the unpardonable sin. There is no remedy for that. It's only in returning. And if you return, now if you don't return, let's go on reading here. But a certain, verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy or a common thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That man's in trouble, isn't he? We know him that saith, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, the one who doesn't return, who goes back to works, there's no salvation for that person. There's no hope for that person. But the one who has been converted and turned back, he's not going to see the end of the man we just read about. His soul is saved from death. And the great multitude of his sins are covered, hidden, put away by the blood of Christ. It's only the person who perseveres in looking to Christ only that shall be saved. That's it. Now that person who is converted, is turned. And I tell you what, how many times have you needed to be turned? How many times have you needed to be turned? Well, so-and-so needs to be turned. Yeah, so-and-so does need to be turned, but I know somebody needs to be turned more. Me. It's only that person who endures to the end, believing the gospel only, that shall be saved. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, what I see from this, I am so liable to stray. I love what David said. I'm going to close with these words. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy word. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we've all, like sheep, gone astray and turned everyone to our own way, that we have such an appetite for sin and the enticements of this world that it would cause us to leave you. We know when we sing that song, it means so much, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, deliver us from that. Lord, our great shepherd, seek us when we go astray. And Lord, give us such a love for one another that we want to turn any of our brethren that err from the truth. Bless this message for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.